know that respect is usually earned, not demanded? I doubt it. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network special live coverage from the Chicago 2024 DNC. Here at the United Center, I'm joined once again by former Illinois GOP Congressman Joe Walsh. Thanks for sticking around, Joe. It's awesome to have you. I do get a few daily little news bites from the far right fringes because, you know, important to keep your finger on the pulse of what the other side is saying and doing. This morning, I got one of these updates from an outlet called The Writing. Their tagline is, "Top news headlines from the far right for the rest of us," which always means it's going to be comedic fun as I peruse what they have in their daily update. Here's what one of the pieces that they highlighted, the title was, "Angry, Delusional, and Devoid of Solutions, Day 2 at the DNC." Here's another one.
Jeez.
From Newsmax. They're right over there. Every time I walk past their booth, I give them a little hiss. This is the
by
headline.
By the way, Maggie, by the way, I used to have a show at Newsmax.
I'm aware.
That shows how...
You've come a long way, babe.
Oh, baby. Continue, Mac. Let's brush over that. Yeah, continue.
Yeah. We're sweeping. That sound you hear is us sweeping Joe's past with Newsmax right under the rug. The Newsmax headline, "The DNC is pure anti-Americanism." Here's another one from the National Review complaining about the fact that it was the schedule is a little behind. "Can't anyone run a convention?" Blaze Media, "Walls is the perfect salesman for the Democrats' anti-white policies." The Gateway Pundit, "Obama makes trashy joke about penis size during DNC speech." The Washington Stand, "Michelle Obama endorses porn in school."
Oh, my God.
"And transing kids." New York Post, "Obama's lecture, America on decency." It goes on.
So
what planet are they on?
They're on a planet that I used to live on, Mag.
Yes.
Where, as a former right-wing radio guy, you have a rock-solid base of listeners who is scared to death with where this country's been headed, and you feed them stuff like... I caught myself. You feed them stuff like that every day to keep them wound up. And you and I've talked. I did more of this than I'm proud of. You want to keep them inflamed and scared. It's like Trump. Trump's trying to scare people into voting for him. That's what they do. That's what I did too much of in right-wing media. It's a shame.
Yeah, it's the one that sort of blows me away the most is from Town Hall. Kamala's authoritarian, quote, joy. Like
authoritarian joy.
Right. It's by Ben Shapiro, so this would be what you would expect. "Joy is a sword to be used against opponents," he writes. "Donald Trump, we are told, is a candidate of darkness and revenge. J.D. Vance, his vice presidential candidate, is weird and authoritarian. Why can't Democrats feel the joy?" What are they talking about?
They're projecting.
Yes, of course. This is the psych diagnosis every time. It's called projection.
It's... Maggie, and I don't know what's going to win. You and I know what we want to win.
Yes.
We want hope and joy and optimism to defeat fear. It's like Barack Obama and Kamala Harris and the Democrats are appearing to our better angels. This is all appearing to our primal fears.
Yes.
Now, it worked in 2016. 2020 was neck and neck.
Yes.
You and I have talked before, average voters are pissed off.
Yes.
So do they want to be fed more anger or joy?
Yes.
I don't know.
You know, I sometimes put it about projection, the gaslighting of America. Do you want the red pill or the blue pill? Do you want to see the Matrix? I mean, pick your tortured metaphor. But I thought Barack Obama put it incredibly well. Jess, if we can get the last Barack Obama cut from yesterday, this is about the sequel. If we can run that clip, that'd be great.
Four more years of bluster and bumbling and chaos. We have seen that movie before, and we all know that the sequel is usually worse.
That's good.
I thought that was a great line, because even if you're inclined to the more conservative end of politics, that is a statement of fact.
And Maggie, that's effective. As someone who talks to Trump supporters every day still,
yes,
even some of them, Maggie, will tell me, oh, I don't want four more years of the... So that actually is an effective line of attack.
Well, I think that's, you know, when you... I've seen different commentary that talks about the best way to deal with the Donald Trumps of the world. And we know these from the schoolyards to the Oval Office is always the same. The best attack is making fun of them, basically, and showing that in this case, the emperor indeed has no clothes. I find it incredibly hilarious to this point that some of the right has lost their mind about the Obama joke, right? The joke of jokes that will haunt Donald Trump for the rest of his career. It's like, listen, your guy set the table for talking about anatomical aptitude, and Obama just slammed the door. Here's another, Jess, I would love to hear this sound. This is about the don't boo vote. Here's from Obama last night.
Do not boo.
Yeah.
Vote.
And that was like Michelle Obama's line, do something. Do something.
Which just the entire crowd roared up.
And I get it. Look, I know it's good. It probably works to make fun of Trump. Because I come from Trump's world, I can't do that. I just get pissed off. That son of a gun tried to overthrow an American election.
Yes.
He will never accept the results of a loss. That pisses me off. I know Kamala Harris won't do that, but I want to call him out and call him out for the threat he is. I'm not as clever and smart as Barack Obama, so I couldn't just make fun of him. I want to punch Donald Trump.
Yeah, he's pretty terrible. When you're talking to Trumpkins and folks that are saying they're going to vote for him again, even the folks that say, I know he's not a good person, but I like his policies, which is what I get to hear all the time. And I say, well, which one? Well, let's deport 12 million people. Well, how are you going to do it? Well, I don't know. We're just going to do it. Like, this isn't how any of this works. How do you help people get past
that? They like his policies, and they like the fact that he goes after people like you.
Uh-huh.
Maggie, they tell me every day, Joe, he may be a bad guy, but he's going after our enemies. He's going after CNN, the fake news.
Yeah.
He's going after the Democrats, the socialists, and the communists. So even if he's a bad guy, he's going after their enemies. Jim Jordan, who I served with.
Yeah.
Don't get mad at me. I see you clenching a fist. Don't punch me. Jim Jordan and I used
not
to be...
Not you, Joe. I'll punch Jim.
Good.
Yeah.
Jordan and I used to be damn good friends. We were very close. That's Jordan's line. Jordan would tell me privately, Joe, I know Trump's a bad guy, but they're the enemy over there. And as long as he's my coach and he's going after that enemy, I don't care what Trump does.
So let me ask you a question about that. I find it so perplexing, and I'm pausing because Trump gave the largest tax cut to millionaires, billionaires, and America's most profitable corporations that we've seen in 25 years.
But many Republicans are fine with that.
Right. But the core of the voting base isn't.
Well...
Right? They if you add...
Oh, they're not the wealthy. Yeah, the core of the voting
correct.
Base is not wealthy.
And it's like, how do you...
Well,
do people just not understand what went down? Do they not understand that he's shilling for rich people, that's what all of this is about?
So, and you may disagree with me. I'll defend the voting base on this one. Because historically, when you poll Americans against other European countries, there is always very little class envy in this country. And I think that's a good thing. It's a uniquely American thing. Like average middle-class poor people don't want wealthy people taxed too much. You know why, Mag? Because they aspire to be that person. We still.
But that's a lie.
I know that. I'm
right,
just saying
the Republicans
polling reflects
have created
that.
The polling does, but actual economics doesn't. It is less likely today than it was before Ronald Reagan before Ronald Reagan was elected for someone that comes from a working-class family to become a millionaire. Fact, less likely today.
Well, still better than any other country in the world. Like, we are still the land of, and there's still some truth, but some of it's perception. Don't give me that look.
I mean,
and this is still the land of opportunity.
I love that we could do like shows on this. That's the mythology of meritocracy.
Oh, more than the mythology, though, right?
Yeah, except if you are one of those people that does work three jobs and can't get ahead and can't buy a house and can't do those things.
I agree.
And somebody's telling you billionaires need to pay less taxes.
Right.
Isn't the end result of that inexorably? Inexorably, if we gave Republicans and Donald Trump and the billionaire class and the wealthiest corporations what they've been begging for years, which is even lower taxes, doesn't that inexorably lead us to a place where we have to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security?
No. But I'm going to call a timeout on both of us.
Okay.
Because you have to promise me we'll have a special show on this topic.
Just this?
Meg,
I love this topic.
I love this, so I'm going to call timeout.
Perfect. Put a pin in it.
A pin.
Well, put a pin.
But you asked me, his base doesn't mind. Because they still think I want to be that one day.
Here
she goes again.
We put a pin in it. Well, you don't get to have the last word, Joe.
Oh, my God.
Get me out of this
studio. I'm being attacked.
This is all the point, because to me, this election is actually about the money. And that, when you strip away all of the blunderbuss that comes from the GOP, Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, billionaire bought, billionaire boys club, that's what it's always been about. And Democrats' failure to make that case abundantly clear to some of Trump's base, I think, is a challenge for us and a challenge that we're doing
better at. I thought this was right-wing talk radio. Nobody told me this was a lefty radio show. Oh, my God. Mag, you and I'll have the best conversation on this topic.
Because
I think it's, by the way, it's a really important topic. And by the way, because of Trump, we don't talk about issues like this anymore.
Correct. It's the keys in the baby's face, right? We get all distracted by the woke nonsense.
And you made this point. Democrats don't talk about this stuff enough anymore.
Nearly enough.
Agreed.
You'll be happy to know this, Joe, and maybe we can dovetail this somehow. Every day on my show at 3:00, starting this coming Monday.
What?
I'm going to be talking to millionaires about this very problem. It's going
to
be
so
called
cool.
Maggie and the Millionaires. We're going to talk about tax policy
and
economic policy.
And you're going to get enough of them to talk to you?
Hell yes.
Hell yeah.
Because many, many millionaires, and certainly a handful of billionaires, understand that the way our tax system is structured is inherently unfair, that we must tax work just as, we must tax wealth.
How about a
flat
tax, one rate?
Go buzz off, Joe. That's going to kill the poor in the middle class. Even my producers are like, hell no.
See, I thought I had him. I just lost him.
All right. One last bit of sound from last night, Jess. I want to hear from Michelle talking about how this is going to be a close election to exactly your point, Joe. Then I'm going to give you the last word of the afternoon. Maybe.
I don't know that we're friends anymore.
Let's hear from Michelle Obama last night, Jess, talking about how close of an election this is going to be.
This election is going to be close. In some states, just a handful, listen to me, a handful of votes in every precinct could decide the winner. So we need to vote in numbers that erase any doubt.
Isn't that what it's about here, Joe? We've got to make a clear statement. If you happen to maybe be more inclined to Joe's view of the tax policy universe, I want to get back to a place, Joe, where all we have to do is you and me arguing about tax and economic policy. You know, when politics used to be normal.
I love this marriage. Maggie and Joe are locked arms. No, hold on a minute. We're locked arms because we're on a common mission to defeat that evil guy who's a threat to our democracy.
Yes.
And I love this alliance.
Yes.
But it's a beautiful temporary alliance because when we defeat him, then you and I are going
to
get to a place, but not respectfully.
Of course.
Maggie, I cannot wait for that. And it's so cool to be on the same side with you now.
Because
I think when we're not on the same side, I think I'm going to get pounded.
Me too. We got to keep it popping, Joe. It's always fun to have the good, important arguments, having to argue about the very baseline of what we should all expect from our elected officials.
She's the best.
Let's wrap it up. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to Civic Media Radio Network special DNC coverage. We'll be back in just a moment.